Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Pellegrin, and this week we attempt to answer the following question. Is Russia's economy teetering on the edge of collapse, or is it actually proving to be resilient in the face of the grueling war it's launched in Ukraine and ensuing Western sanctions? Those two competing narratives can be heard in the media, and either of them could be a determining factor at a time when Donald Trump's arrival in the White House is pushing Kyiv and Moscow closer to some sort of settlement. But before we actually try to see which narrative is closer to reality, France 24's Brian Quinn gives us an overview of where the Russian economy stands today.
Over 3 years of war, Russia's economy has proven considerably more resilient than its Western adversaries would have hoped. Mounting rounds of sanctions, including export restrictions, asset freezes, and cutting the country's banks off from the main international transfer system, were initially projected to send Russia into deep recession.
These sanctions will hit Russia hard. They will hit the Russian economy hard. And our goal is to bring the Russian economy to its knees.
GDP did shrink in 2022, but it has since returned to growth, the past 2 years at more than 4%, though that is projected to slow this year. Meanwhile, Moscow has managed to maintain trade and current account surpluses, in large part due to loopholes for its oil and gas exports in G7 sanctions, along with a pivot to increased commerce with China and India. But that apparent strength masks major points of strain, as Russia has pivoted to a wartime economy in which defense spending shot up some 40% last year. An unprecedentedly low unemployment rate is tied to the war effort. Hundreds of thousands of Russian men have been killed or wounded, leading to a severe labor shortage that has sent wages soaring. That, in turn, has driven inflation to 9.5% last year, with the central bank compelled to hike interest rates to 21% in a bid to control an overheating economy.
Since September, price rises have accelerated, as have expectations of inflation. Loans have continued to grow rapidly.
The ruble, meanwhile, hit a two-year low in November, but has since regained ground as currency traders consider the possibility of a rapprochement with the U.S. under Donald Trump. In Russia's authoritarian system, it remains to be seen if pressure on the Russian economy will be sufficient to put political pressure on Vladimir Putin.
Well, for more on this, let's speak with Dr. Richard Connolly. He's an associate fellow and specialist on the Russian economy at the Royal United Services Institute in the UK. And he's also the recent author of a commentary piece entitled Russia's Economy Isn't as Weak as It Looks. Thank you, Dr. Connolly, for speaking with us.
Thank you, and hello, Sean.
So let's start by looking at the issue, which I think is quite central here in determining the health of the Russian economy, of labor shortages. Hundreds of thousands of Russian men killed or injured in Ukraine, unemployment at historic lows in the country, and this means the civilian workforce is depleted. Yet you argue that these tight labor conditions and the inflation it has caused have actually been a sort of blessing in disguise.
That's right. There are certainly positives and negatives associated with this, with the labour shortage. On the positive side, it's meant that for the price of labour, so people's wages, has gone up considerably over the last 2 years. And that follows 10 years before that, a relatively stagnant wage growth. So for many Russians, especially those involved in military production or working with or for the military, have seen their wages rise much faster than prices. So in some respects, this labour shortage has helped. Of course, there are other people who have not been as well affected by the increase in wages. Some people haven't worked in industries that have enabled them to benefit from this increase. And some people, especially those in the poorer segments, have seen their wages rise at a slower rate than prices. So in real terms, their incomes and living standards have gone down. But on balance, it would appear that this has been a net positive for Russia, at least so far.
We mentioned something else earlier, which is the amount of defense spending up 40% last year in the country. The term wartime economy is often used to describe the Russian economy. Would you say that's an accurate label?
I think it captures some of the reality of what we've seen in Russia. certainly spending on the military has risen significantly. Before the war, before 2022, Russia spent about 4% of GDP on its military. Last year and the year ahead, it looks like it's going to be about 7% of GDP. So we've seen it nearly double as a proportion of GDP over this period. And that's a lot. If you compare that with the NATO average, which is closer to 2%, we can see that military expenditure accounts for a lot more of activity in Russia. Furthermore, it accounts for a lot more of budgetary spending. It accounts last year and for this year, it's projected to account for about 40% of federal budget spending. However, the point that I make in the article that you referenced is that Russia is a federation. Some spending takes place at the federal level and some takes place at the local level. And if we take all of that spending together, Russia's spending about 20 to 25% of overall government spending on the military. That's high. It's higher than it was, let's say, 5 years ago. But it's about the same as what the United States was spending, for example, during the Vietnam War.
I guess the real question here is whether economic pain, no matter how severe it is, can actually have an impact on political decisions that are made at the Kremlin. Do you think Putin is actually concerned about this economic pain?
I think so far, so if we take the last 3 years, I think there would have been some concern, especially in the early months when it looked as though sanctions would have had a much more extreme impact on the Russian economy. When it turned out that Russia's economic managers were able to mitigate the impact of sanctions and were able to help restructure and reorient the economy, I think that the economic pain, as you describe it, has been less of a concern for the Kremlin. After all, this is a country that's fighting the most intense war in Europe since World War II, and it's managing to do so with a budget deficit of less than 2% of GDP. Again, compare that with France, with the United Kingdom. That's a much smaller budget deficit. Yes, it is engaged in this war. So I think that illustrates just how comfortable the Kremlin has been so far with the degree of economic pain that it's experienced.
Does that prove to us that sanctions have been ineffective, or that Russia and Putin are in a way sanctions proof?
I think if we go back to the beginning of your show, it was somebody said that the idea behind sanctions was to bring Russia to its knees, and as a result of that, to change its policy in Ukraine and its sort of foreign policy towards the West in general. I think if we take that as the objective of sanctions policy, it's difficult to say it's anything other than a failure. Russia has continued its war in Ukraine. In fact, it's escalated over the last 3 years. And it has adjusted to sanctions at home, and its economy has been growing faster than anybody thought that it would. So in that respect, they haven't worked. Having said that, it's also very difficult to conceive of a situation where Russia would invade its neighbor and engage in this enormous war, and for Western countries and allies of Ukraine not to impose sanctions. But just because they didn't work, it doesn't mean that they shouldn't have been imposed. I just think what's important is that we rein in our expectations about what can be achieved. They are only part of the wider toolbox to deal with Russia and should not be seen as something that's going to achieve our objectives on their own.
Another aspect here is trade. The war and sanctions has forced Russia to pivot to Asia with deepened exchanges with China and is India to a lesser extent. Does this make the Russian economy stronger today?
The pivot to Asia, this reorientation of trade from Europe, which accounted for about 50 to 60% of Russian trade before the war, to Asia, which now accounts for about 75% of Russia's trade, with the West and Europe having drifted down to 25%. That has played a big part in Russia's adaptation to sanctions over the last 3 years. Whether it makes it stronger or not is a different question. I think in some ways it increases Russia's vulnerability, because if there is a downturn, for example, in China, Russia will now be even more badly affected than it would have been before the war. But Russia relies so much on China that a downturn in that one country alone will probably affect Russia a lot more than it would, for instance, affect Europe. So it's helped Russia over the last 3 years, but I think it's also created some future vulnerabilities.
And to conclude, finally, in light of everything we've said, and in light of also Donald Trump arriving at the White House, well, he's been there for a few months now, in what position would you say Moscow finds itself in when it comes to potentially finding a settlement in Ukraine?
Well, I think that the Trump administration has certainly made new opportunities available to Moscow that weren't there under the Biden administration. However, I think we'll see that there are going to be limits to what can be changed, even in the event of a ceasefire or a longer-term peace deal between Russia and Ukraine. Even if that peace deal is achieved, it's not necessarily going to result in a reduction in tension between NATO, in particular European NATO, and Russia. I think that those tensions will remain, and that we are likely to see a confrontation over the long term between Russia and Europe. And even if the United States shifts to a friendlier posture towards Moscow, there are still limits to what the Trump administration can do. It's very difficult, for instance, for the White House alone to repeal the vast amount of sanctions that have been put in place on Russia over the last few years. A lot of them will require congressional approval to lift them, and that doesn't happen very often. So even in the event of a warmer relations between the US on the one hand and Russia on the other, there are still a lot of other complicating factors that mean that business will not be getting back to normal anytime soon.
Dr. Richard Connolly, you are an associate fellow and specialist on the Russian economy at the Royal United Services Institute in the UK. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Well, that's all for this week. As usual, you can watch or listen to our previous episodes on the France 24 app or the podcast platform of your choice. In the meantime, thank you for watching and До свидания.